book, though it's worn and faded now, which recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello there. I'm really glad to see you here again. If you are as anxious to hear this discussion as I was the night it took place, you can hardly wait. I spent most of that entire week studying and talking and hunting evidence that would support belief in a Sunday Sabbath. By the time 7 o'clock rolled around on Tuesday, I had both barrels, as it were, loaded and waiting for Uncle Julius.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, 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 onward,
like
onward,
a mighty
onward,
army,
onward, onward,
the Church
onward,
of God.
Onward, onward. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, oh, one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Well, Uncle Julius, I have the evidence that Sunday is the true Sabbath.
And we'll listen to every thread of evidence. First, however, shall we have our usual word of prayer?
Go right ahead,
surely,
Uncle Julius.
I forgot.
Infinite Father, as we study the important subject of thy holy Sabbath, of the day that thou hast blessed, sanctified, and hallowed, give us willing hearts and understanding minds. Endow us with wisdom from on high. Teach us thy truth. In the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen.
Who is going to present their side first, Uncle Julius, you or us?
Well, Carl, I don't think of it as sides. All three of us want to know the truth, don't we? And we'll abide by the truth.
Yes, but, do you mean that if I prove that Sunday is the Sabbath, you will accept it?
If Sunday is God's Sabbath, I'll start keeping it next Sunday.
I suppose you want me to say the same thing about Saturday.
No, Carl. If you keep Saturday at all, it should be because it's the Lord's Sabbath day and not because of a promise.
Well, anyway, it's of no consequence. Saturday isn't a Sabbath, and naturally you can't prove it
is. By the way, Uncle Julius, I think it's rather odd that we never knew that you keep Saturday.
Well, it's not too odd, Nettie, when you consider that I'm really your great-uncle, and we've never even met until you moved here about 6 months ago.
Well, no, I suppose not.
I'm anxious to begin, Uncle Julius.
Very well. Go right ahead, Carl. Present your case.
It may surprise you, Uncle Julius, but the truth of the matter is that the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday when Christ was here upon earth.
Well, that is a surprise.
It's recorded in Revelation 1:10.
Ah, yes, I know that text. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet.
Oh, so you did know about it, huh?
Well, I know the text, yes.
Well, everyone knows that the Lord's day is Sunday. Somewhere between the Old Testament and Revelation 1:10, the day was changed from Saturday to Sunday, and the name was changed from Sabbath to the Lord's Day. Everyone knows that.
I don't.
Now, Uncle Julius, certainly you realize that Sunday is referred to as the Lord's Day.
Oh, yes, but just because people call Sunday the Lord's Day is no proof that it is. We want Bible proof, you know.
Well, I was told that there is no Bible proof. The change was made, however. The actual proof of the change has come down from generation to generation as a sort of a tradition.
Well, Carl, suppose you read Matthew 15:9.
Matthew 15:9?
Mm-hmm.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Now read the last part of the 6th verse.
Matthew 15:6. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition.
That very plainly says that if we follow the traditions of men, we make the commandments of God of no effect.
Yeah.
We simply cannot depend upon anything that has its foundation in the traditions of men.
I see that all right, but... Well, that still doesn't alter the fact that the Lord's Day is Sunday.
I think it's Saturday, and to prove it, Nettie, please read Isaiah 58:13. We read this same text several weeks ago, so it's already familiar to us. So read just the first part, Nettie.
All right, Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day...
Notice that the Lord calls the Sabbath his day, his holy day. The Lord's day, then, is the Sabbath.
But I don't see that that is conclusive proof.
Perhaps then we should read Mark 2:27-28.
Mark 2:27-28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
This is definite proof that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord's day and the Sabbath are one and the same.
I wonder why Reverend... why he didn't tell us about these texts, Nettie, when he told us that the Lord's Day is Sunday.
Well, maybe he didn't know about them, dear.
No, he probably just didn't want to tell us the truth because he believes that Sunday is the Sabbath. I wonder why some people believe lies, Uncle Julius.
Well, Carl, even Eve, who was fresh from the hand of God and very intelligent, believed a lie.
Well, how can we be sure, then, what is truth and what is error?
John 14:6 has this to say. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again in John 8, the last part of verse 31 and the first part of verse 32, we read, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Jesus and his word are the only sources of truth.
We still have more evidence that Sunday is the Sabbath, Uncle Julius.
Yes, but, I hesitate to even mention that. I've been proved so wrong on the first count.
Don't feel badly about it, Carl. We want to know the truth, so go ahead with all your arguments.
Well, a certain minister told me that Sunday is observed as a Sabbath because Jesus was resurrected on that day, and it's more important to observe the resurrection day than the old Jewish Sabbath.
At least that theory admits that Saturday is the Bible Sabbath?
Yes, up to the resurrection of Jesus. After that, the disciples kept Sunday, the first day of the week.
So Jesus was resurrected on Sunday?
Well, wasn't he?
Well, he certainly was. And that fact is a very important link in the chain that proves that Saturday is the true Bible Sabbath.
The resurrection of Jesus on Sunday proves that.
It's a strong link in the chain, yes. But we'll come to that later. Right now, go ahead with your arguments.
Well, that's all I have on that theory.
You said that the disciples kept Sunday after Christ was resurrected. If you could prove that, you certainly would have a strong case.
The Right Reverend McGee said that the disciples kept the first day of the week, and it sounded so logical that I didn't even think to ask for proof.
Do you want me to help you?
Help me prove that the disciples kept Sunday? Why, I surely do.
I see that you, Nettie, have a Bible with a concordance.
Yes, Uncle Julius.
Turn to the concordance, please, to the subject index, and look under S, and find the title Sabbath.
All right. Rulers. Sabbath.
Now, down a little, you'll find a subtitle that says, First Day of the Week Kept As.
Here it is.
Then the first day of the week was kept as a Sabbath?
At least the men who compiled this particular concordance thought so, and they put down some text to prove it.
Ah, those are the texts I want to hear.
What are they, Nettie?
Matthew 28:1, Mark 16:2-9, John 20:1-19-26, Acts 20:7, 1 Corinthians 16:2, and Revelation 1:10.
Hmm. Thanks for helping me out, Uncle Julius.
Don't be too sure that I have.
I suggest we read these texts and see if the disciples or anyone else did keep Sunday.
Good idea, Nettie. Suppose you read the first one.
Sure thing. Matthew 28:1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
Is that all of it?
Yes.
That doesn't say anything about keeping the first day of the week as the Sabbath.
In fact, it says just the opposite. At the end of the Sabbath, towards the first day of the week, proving that the first day of the week, Sunday, followed the Sabbath, Saturday, as it still does today.
I wonder why the printers of the Bible used that text to prove that Sunday is the Sabbath.
Maybe they were hard up for text.
I'll read the next one if you want me to.
Sure, go ahead.
Mark 16:2-9. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils.
Those 2 verses don't prove a thing.
Maybe we'll have better luck with the next one, dear.
I'll read it. John 20:1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. This one isn't any better than the others.
The 19th verse is different.
It is? John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. This is different. On the first day of the week, Jesus stood in their midst and preached a sermon.
What do you have to say about that, Uncle Julius?
Yeah. Well, let's read the text again. And this time, notice the reason the disciples were assembled together.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were assembled because they feared the Jews.
Exactly. The Jews had just crucified Jesus, and the disciples had reason for fear. The doors were shut and probably locked. Suddenly Jesus stood in their midst and said simply, Peace be unto you. Now, if the disciples had been assembled there for the purpose of a religious meeting, one might be justified in using the text to prove the first day of the week is the Sabbath. But assembled because they feared the Jews? No.
I agree with Uncle Julius.
So do I. It's as plain as the nose on your face.
Well, why don't we go on to the next text?
It's John 20:26. I'll read it. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you.
After 8 days. If the first meeting was on Sunday, this one must have been on Monday. Let's go on to the next text. What is it, Nettie?
Acts 20:7.
Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
That's a good one, Uncle Julius. Paul preached a sermon on Sunday.
Yeah, he preached all right, but not a church sermon.
Well, how do you know he didn't?
Well, it says so right there in the text.
What?
It says that it was a banquet. A farewell banquet for Paul, who was going away the very next day. Paul merely got up during the banquet and made a farewell speech that lasted until midnight.
Well, come on, let's go on to the next text. We still have 2 to go.
Well, if they're like the others, all I have to say is that the men who compiled that concordance must have been local.
I'll read the next text, 1 Corinthians 16:2. And upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come.
I do believe that at last we have a... Uncle Julius, you may as well go ahead and explain that. I know it must not say what it sounds like it says.
On the contrary, it says exactly what it sounds like it does. I'll read the verse just before it, so we'll get the true connection. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Put together those 2 texts and...
And they have nothing whatsoever to do with a Sabbath gathering.
Paul was merely reminding the Corinthians that they should lay aside money as they had been prospered. In other words, tithes. So that when he arrived, there would be no need for last-minute collections.
Well, let's go on to the next text.
We've already read it, Carl.
We have?
It's Revelation 1:10, and it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that's that.
Don't give up, Carl. There are still many reasons given why people keep Sunday as the Sabbath. Let's go on.
You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not. I think we should discuss all the reasons. Then we will know for sure what is truth and what are lies.
Well, I ran across a tract that said that Saturday is the Sabbath of the Bible, but that it's all right for us to keep Sunday anyway.
And what were the reasons given?
Well, the writer pointed out that God isn't a hard, mean tyrant of a God. God doesn't care which day we keep, just so we give him 1/7 of our time. It just doesn't make that much difference to God.
Well, what do you think of those arguments?
Well, the thought kept running through my mind that a small thing made a difference to God in the case of Adam and Eve. Because of one small sin, the entire world was plunged into sickness, sorrow, and death. Also, we read somewhere that if we are guilty of breaking even one small point, we are guilty of breaking the whole law. So, I think it does make a difference to God which day we keep.
And let's remember this too, Carl. God only sanctified, hallowed, and blessed one day, the seventh day. And that is the only day it is possible to keep holy.
Yes, I can see that.
Why don't you go ahead now, Uncle Julius, and prove that Saturday is the Sabbath of the Bible. You can, can't you?
It can be proved, Nettie. But before we do, I think we'd better rest and relax while we listen to one of your records. I see you have one all ready to play.
Yes, Uncle Julius.
Go ahead and play it.
The service of Jesus true pleasure affords. In him there is joy, without an alloy. 'Tis heaven to trust him and rest on his word. It pays to serve Jesus each day.
Changed my mind. I don't think I'll prove that Saturday is the Bible Sabbath.
What?
You're fooling, Uncle Julius.
Today, I mean. I think we've studied enough for one day.
Oh.
But it's early yet, Uncle Julius.
We're not stopping. I'll tell a story if you want me to.
Oh,
well, that's
a story.
Different. We like stories.
Will you be the narrator this time, Nettie?
Oh, I'd love to, Uncle Julius.
Here's the script. This, by the way, is a story about one of the many Seventh-day Adventist missionaries scattered all over the world. It will show that little things do matter to God. Nothing is too small or insignificant for his tender love and personal attention. Matthew 10:29-30 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered."
Marjorie is only 8 years old. Her mother is dead. She died last year from the fever. Now Marjorie and her father live all alone in a hut in the very center of a compound in darkest Africa. A compound is a group of huts built inside a strong wall to keep the wild animals out. The gate of the compound is closed and locked at night. In the daytime, it is open, but well guarded by a special gatekeeper. The jungle around the compound is full of wild animals, wolves, lots of monkeys, hyenas, panthers, lions, all sorts of birds, snakes, and many other dangerous animals. Even though Marjorie is only 8 years old, she is big enough to get breakfast for her father.
My, Marjorie, honey, this looks like a real good breakfast today.
I hope you like it, Daddy.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Close your eyes for grace now. Dear Jesus, bless this food that Marjorie prepared, and may it give us spiritual and physical strength. And keep Marjorie safe today while I'm away. Amen.
You going someplace, Daddy?
Mm-hmm. I have to go into the back country for the day.
May I go with you?
Oh, I'm afraid not, Princess. You stay home and keep house, okay?
Okay, Daddy. When are you leaving?
Right after breakfast. Goodbye, Marjorie, honey. Remember, be a good girl.
I will, Daddy.
Don't go outside the compound.
All right. Goodbye, Daddy.
Get up. Get up. Goodbye, Marjorie. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'll go inside and do the dishes. Then I guess we'll go over and play with the Collins baby. She's such a sweet little thing.
Why, hello, Marjorie.
Hello, Mrs. Collins. I came over to play with the baby. Daddy's gone for the day.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Marjorie, but little Heidi's sick.
Oh, I hope Heidi gets well. Well, I guess I'll go over and see Mrs. Wells for a while. She might have something.
Mrs. Wells has company today.
Oh. Well, I'll go see Mrs. Brown then.
I'm sorry, Marjorie, dear, but Mrs. Brown has a headache. Wouldn't you like to come back some other time?
I see Mrs. Smith's blinds are drawn. Suppose she's sick, too. Everybody seems to be sick or too busy to be bothered with a little girl like me. Wonder what I should do. Oh, I know. I'll pick a bouquet of flowers and put them on the table for Daddy's dinner tonight.
So Marjorie picked flowers along the compound wall. When she got near the gate, she saw that Bob, the gatekeeper, was fast asleep.
My Bob looks funny with his mouth wide open like that.
Oh, look at those pretty flowers out there. Daddy said not to go outside the compound, but he won't care if I pick those pretty flowers.
So Marjorie went just a little ways outside the compound gate and picked some flowers. Then she saw some prettier flowers a little farther away. Finally, she was so far from the compound gate, she couldn't even see it.
My, but it's lovely out here. I wonder why Daddy said not to go through the gate. There just can't be any dangerous things out here. Bob wouldn't sit there by the gate and go to sleep.
Marjorie went farther and farther into the jungle.
Maybe I'd better drop some flowers to mark the way so I won't get lost when I go back. Oh, there's a parrot. Wish I could catch him and take him home with me. I get so lonesome since Mommy's gone and Daddy's away so much.
She went still farther and farther into the thick jungle. After a while, she came across a beautiful little pool of water and took off her shoes and stockings.
I'll leave my shoes and stockings right here beside my sunbonnet and bouquet. There, now I'll go wading. Oh, the water's so nice and cool. Look at the pretty moss over there. I'll wade across to it. Oh, this moss feels good to my feet. Another pool of water. It's pretty, too. I'll go over there and wade in it for a while. I'll leave my shoes and socks back there and get them when I'm all through wading. Oh, I'm getting tired and sleepy. Guess I'll lie down in the moss and take a little nap. That'll be fun. Where am I? Oh, now I remember. I was waiting in the pool and took a nap. Must have slept a long time. It's dark. Awful dark. I don't know which direction home is. I wonder if Daddy's home yet. I wish he'd come and get me, because I'm awful lonesome and afraid. Guess maybe I'd better ask Jesus to be sure and send his angels down to stay with me till Daddy gets here. Dear Jesus, I'm lost in the jungle and it's awful dark out here, but you can find me. I'm right by that pretty pool where I went wading. And please, dear Jesus, please forgive me for coming out here when Daddy told me not to. Thank you, dear Jesus. Amen. There, now I feel better.
So Marjorie sat there in the dark jungle. Pretty soon she heard soft footsteps walking toward her.
Wonder who's coming. Maybe it's an angel. Oh, there it is. I can see it now. It's a dog. A big yellow dog. Come here, nice doggy. I bet Jesus sent you so I wouldn't be afraid. Ooh, kissed me right in my face. My, but you have a lot of hair on your neck. You ought to get a haircut. Here come some more doggies. I bet they're your pals. Come here, doggies. We'll all keep each other company. Nice doggies, nice doggies.
In the meantime, back at the compound.
Marjorie! Marjorie, I'm home. Marjorie? Marjorie, where are you? Oh, I guess you must be at Mrs. Collins'.
Marjorie isn't here. She hasn't been here since morning.
Marjorie isn't here.
No, she's not here. I don't know where she could be.
Oh, hello, Bob. I don't suppose you've seen Marjorie, have you?
Why, no, I haven't. Why?
Why, we can't find her any place in the compound, Bob, and we thought that she just might have gone outside. Oh, but if she had, you'd have seen her, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, but
what?
She... Well, she could have gone out without me seeing her.
What's that you say, Bob?
I fell asleep, and
then,
I...
Then she did go outside. Oh, Bob, it's night.
It's my fault she's out there. I'll find her.
Bob, come back here. We'll get all the men together and take torches and guns. We'll make a thorough search. Oh, but Bob, I don't suppose there's much use in looking now.
I'll lead the way. It's my fault. And if harm comes to anyone, it's going to be me.
We must stay together.
We'll find her.
Someone's been picking flowers here. See?
Only a little girl would pick flowers in the jungle.
We're on the right track, all right.
Look, she dropped some flowers here. Come, men. We'll find her yet. Why, here's a whole bunch of flowers.
And here's a sunbonnet and shoes and stockings.
Why, these are Marjorie's. Oh, why didn't I stay at home today?
We'll find Marjorie, and she'll be all right.
No, Bob. See these? They're lion tracks. Fresh tracks, Bob, made since Marjorie was here.
Lion tracks? Oh, I'm sorry. Awfully sorry.
My poor little girl. She was so brave, so wonderful ever since her mother passed away. And now I... What was that? I thought I heard someone calling. But, I guess it must have been my imagination.
Daddy! It isn't your imagination. Listen!
Daddy! Come here and get me! Why, it's Marjorie. It is. Where are you, Marjorie? Where are you? I'll be right there, darling. Hold up the torches, men, and follow me, quickly. Are you all right, Marjorie?
Of course I am, Daddy.
I'm almost there, Marjorie. Just be brave now.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so
Marjorie. Oh, wasn't my little girl frightened here all alone?
Why, she must have been frightened.
Daddy, I love myself. You.
Oh, and I love you too, my darling. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Oh, Daddy. Guess what?
What, Marjorie, honey?
When it got night, I prayed and asked God to send his angels to keep me company so I wouldn't be afraid. And you know what Jesus did?
No, dear. Tell me, what did Jesus do?
I guess all the angels must have been busy, because Jesus sent some dogs to keep me company instead of angels.
Dogs, Marjorie?
Some great big dogs with lots of hair on their necks.
Big dogs?
They must have been lions.
Don't you think that that was nice of Jesus, Daddy?
Oh, it was wonderful, Marjorie, honey. Jesus is wonderful.
I know it, Daddy, and I love him.
Come on. Up on my shoulder you go. There. Now lead the way, men. We're going back home.
I am more determined than ever, friends, to do whatever God wants me to do. I had hoped, with all my human energy, that Saturday wasn't the right Sabbath. I didn't want to keep Saturday. It would be inconvenient and awfully hard. But if Saturday was the Bible Sabbath, then I was going to keep it anyway. God is a merciful and gracious God. He loves me as much as he does that precious little Marjorie. And folks, he loves you too. I'm certainly not going to let him down. You won't either, I'm sure. So be here again next week, and together, let's hear what the Bible says about the Sabbath, shall we? Good night.
Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that